Hey folks, Hyrulean here, and welcome back to another episode of Hyrulean Reviews Adventure Time. I'm back with another 5 episodes of the show for ya, and I gotta say, there's some really weird ones in here. It's not often that I have to kind of skim back through an episode after I watch it to kind of try and piece together the narrative a little bit better, and that happened in this block of reviews twice. There were 2 episodes where I was like, what's going on? Little reference for you. And I was just shocked and so confused at multiple episodes in this block. I will say it was arguably a good amount of filler, but some of the stuff that wasn't filler was very strange, so either way, folks, I expect that you didn't come here to listen to me ramble about the episodes too much, considering you're about to listen to me review them, but I guess without further ado, let's get back into our reviews. Season 5, Episode 32, Earth and Water, is an episode that continues the story of Flame Princess. Basically, for the gist of the episode, she is in the woods alone and feeling really sad when she discovers Princess Bubblegum has been watching her. And basically, PB explains that she was researching her and trying to figure out what makes her tick, because she knows that when she has emotional outbursts, she can be quite destructive, and Princess Bubblegum doesn't want a repeat of what happened in the last episode. And Flame Princess, not really sure what to do or where to go or anything, just decides to help Princess Bubblegum, sorry, I forgot her name, with her tests. So they head back and they start doing tests. Princess Bubblegum is called away by Finn and Jake, who are fighting Gunter for a reason I'll explain in a little bit. And Flame Princess is left alone with Cinnamon Bun in charge of running the tests. And essentially, obviously, Cinnamon Bun accidentally lets her out of her constraints, but not really accidentally because it's Cinnamon Bun. And they head back to his house to kind of hang out. And that's when they get the idea to head over to the Flame Kingdom. And Finn and Princess Bubblegum return, only to discover that Flame Princess is long gone. And when they arrive at Cinnamon Bun's house, it turns out that they have left the Candy Kingdom to overthrow the Flame King. They left the Candy Kingdom to go to the Flame Kingdom, to overthrow the Flame King. And basically, we discover that Flame Princess actually met Princess Bubblegum a long time ago when she was a baby. And the reason for that is the Flame King actually kicked her out of the kingdom as soon as she was born. Princess Bubblegum saved her and brought her back, only for her father to imprison her in the lantern that we saw in the first Flame Princess episode. So basically, Flame Princess has a reason to have a bit of a grudge against Princess Bubblegum. But either way, Finn and Princess Bubblegum arrive in the Flame Kingdom and ultimately find that Flame Princess is now, in fact, the Flame King. They keep calling her the Flame King, even though wouldn't she be the Flame Queen? Who knows? Either way, now she rules the Flame Kingdom and basically explains that there's basically zero shot that her and Finn ever get back together, and Finn gets really, really sad. And that's sort of all that really happens for the plot in this episode, but there's a lot of other little strings that I haven't mentioned, so let's get into those. I said that this wasn't a filler episode, too, because I feel like this is kind of either the conclusion or part of the conclusion of Flame Princess's arc. I did not spot the snail, and no, there were no fart jokes. The cutest part was definitely when Cinnamon Bun broke his leg, like literally cracked it, and Flame Princess burned it back together, like healed it. That was cute. And also the fact that Cinnamon Bun has a dog, but it's actually not a dog. It's just a pile of sweets, and he calls it Jake because he really loves Jake, which was established in one of the Grables episodes. The coolest part was definitely when Princess Bubblegum used her cloaking tech to spy on Flame Princess. She really, like, was just completely hidden. It was pretty badass and cool. Some of the funniest parts of the episode include Finn and the guards. Finn said that he needed to get through to go to the guard's mama's house, and the guard was, like, all pissed off about it, and was like, bro, my mom lives in a different city, what do you mean? And it was pretty funny. Also, the meanest guard that stopped them at the last minute said that he was gonna, like, toast them like he toasts buns or something like that, or crack them like he cracks eggs. And the reason for that was because he actually didn't want to be a guard, he wanted to be a chef. If you guys know much about me, you'll know I'm a sucker for those kinds of jokes. And also, a flame citizen arrived while they were trying to get past the guards, and the guards stopped the flame citizen as well. But they explained that they wanted to go inside to use the bathroom in the flame castle because it was nicer than the one at home and it was their favorite. And then they said that they were going to go in there to do their taxes, and then they said that they were going to crop dust the lobby, which I thought was really funny. Other things of note. At the beginning of the episode, Finn and Jake are playing sumo scoots on BMO. I just wanted to note that. Also, the Ice King is living with Finn and Jake now because the Ice Kingdom was destroyed by Flame Princess. And the Ice King straight up gave the crown to Gunter to rebuild the kingdom while he was gone. And they had to go stop him. Hence why Princess Bubblegum had to go help them out, because they were tied up fighting Gunter and some ice snakes. Also, there was a callback to the episode where Jake and the Ice King had to get married, because Jake's talking about how, like, horrible breakups are, and he's like, yeah, tell me about it. Remember that time we got married? And that's really about it about this one. This was a really good Flame Princess episode. If this is all we see of her, I think this was probably about as good of a conclusion as we could get. But spoiler alert, Finn talks about her a lot over the course of the next 5 episodes or so, so we're not done with her quite yet, I have a feeling. So we'll have to see if she's out of the picture for good, or if Finn's gonna go crawling back to her, or if she's gonna go crawling back to Finn. Season 5, Episode 33, Time Sandwich, is an interesting one, because it basically is a filler episode, but it's very, very amazing. I am usually not super invested in filler episodes, not gonna lie. Unless I see, like, Simon Petrikov, I'm basically tapped out, you know? Like, if it's not a lore episode, I'm not really in it. But this one, I gotta admit, it really pulled me in. Here's the premise. Jake basically makes the ultimate sandwich, and all of a sudden, Magic Man shows up and steals the sandwich and begins to flee. And Finn and Jake start to chase after him, so he decides to go ahead and take a bite. But in order to preserve the moment and enjoy it longer, he ends up creating a time bubble around himself, where inside of the time bubble, everything is going slow motion, and he is slowly eating the sandwich so he can savor every moment of it. And basically, as soon as he hits the ground in the time bubble, that's when he's actually going to take the bite. Until then, he's just slowly moving the sandwich towards his mouth. And before he hops out the window, he gives this little riddle that'll come in handy later on. But after that, of course, he's outside, slowly falling in this time bubble, and about to take a bite of Jake's precious ultimate sandwich. And basically, all of the mainstay characters take their own stab at trying to help get the sandwich back for Jake. And Jake and Finn, like, climb in, and it, you know, ends up being, like, slow motion in there, and they're accidentally stuck in there for 5 hours. BMO has them build a skateboard ramp and tries to do a trick in there really radly to try and get the sandwich back, and Princess Bubblegum shows up and tries to launch a nuke at the bubble, explaining that it's made out of molasses, and if she hits it with a missile, it'll heat up and time will resume more quickly. Marceline shows up and tries to do a wrestling move, like a body slam or some shit. I don't know wrestling moves, I'm sorry. on top of the bubble to smash through it really fast and get the sandwich back. All of these tricks are in vain. And Jake, desperate to get the sandwich back, tries to make another one and fails. And it's an abysmal sandwich and it's really, really bad. So basically, he just decides to go inside the bubble. And he's walking into the bubble crying because he just wants his sandwich back. And that's when they realize that in order to make time not be slow inside the bubble, you just have to be really, really sad. So Jake attempts to make himself as sad as possible, just well enough that he can steal back the sandwich that was stolen from him. He gets it back, he eats it, end of the episode. So that's sort of the general premise for this one, just to kind of set it up. Now let's get into the nitty-gritty, shall we? So was this a filler episode? Yes, it was. Did I spot the snail? No, I did not. And no, there were no fart jokes. The cutest part of the episode was definitely when Jake was making himself really sad. He basically opened his heart up about Mr. Cupcake and how he really desires being better friends with him, and also fears that his wife is going to leave him for Mr. Cupcake because he's so handsome and so ripped. He even goes as far as to say that he admires Mr. Cupcake so much that he tries to imitate some of his actions in his own personal life. And it was just a very interesting moment where, you know, it was kind of showing some manly sadness and showing some manly emotion, and I'm always here for that. Way to defeat toxic masculinity, Adventure Time. Cool moments in the episode. Princess Bubblegum tries to heat up the bubble with a missile and it fails miserably, but thankfully BMO is inside doing this sick skateboard trick and the missile just ends up creating an explosion effect behind him. Honestly, BMO was so cute in this episode too because he was getting so excited over his skateboarding. And the funniest parts were, yes, BMO doing his sick skateboard trick, and also at the end of the episode when the bubble finally pops, when Jake gets the sandwich back, BMO does a board slide across the Magic Man's face, which was really fun. And also Marceline lands her wrestling move right into his gut with her elbow, which was awesome. Other things to note, this episode is one of the first times we see Jake get like really, really emotional and kind of open up, which I thought was cool. And other than that, this was just a really entertaining little filler episode. It was kind of one of those episodes where the theme is, how would the characters handle X situation? And we're far enough in the show at this point that I really appreciate when there's episodes like that, because they're just fun, you know? So, yeah, that's what I think about that one. It was a pretty good filler episode. Season 5, episode 34, The Vault, is one of the weirdest episodes of the show yet. And as such, I'm going to ask you folks to kind of bear with me as I explain the episode. It's probably going to take me a little longer than usual. And also, I have some theories related to this episode that I'm going to go over as well. So hopefully you folks stick with me here. But basically, the premise of this episode at the beginning is Finn is having nightmares and sleepwalking because of them. And every time he does, he destroys the house because he sees this horrific-looking woman ghost. And he explains that to Jake when he wakes up in a stupor after destroying the kitchen. And Jake asks him to try and open his mind and figure out what the dreams are trying to tell him. Because in this show, dreams are never just dreams. They're always something important. And essentially, Finn has trouble with that because he's got whatever it is locked away in his mind in what he calls the vault, which is basically how he blocks out painful memories or traumatic memories. And it's sort of the show's way of explaining why, even though we are 5 seasons in, we basically know nothing about Finn and Jake's backstory. So we get a little glimpse into that today because BMO basically makes Finn play this regression simulator game where he actually unlocks some memories from a past life / past lives, which is very, very strange. And some of the past lives he sees include him as a comet, him as a flower, him as some sort of weird, like, alien poop-looking thing, and him as a bandit for hire named Shoko. And Shoko is a young woman in the flashback about Finn's age, and basically she works for this gang called the Bath Boys, and she is hired by them to steal an amulet from Princess Bubblegum. Yes, Princess Bubblegum. This episode casually drops the absolute bombshell on us, that Princess Bubblegum is old enough to know Finn in his past life, which is absolutely crazy. So, Shoko and her lion companion, yes, she has a lion companion, they don't really mention it too much, arrive at the under-construction Candy Kingdom and basically infiltrate it and get in good with Princess Bubblegum by doing some small tasks for her. And then Shoko steals her amulet while she is asleep, and while she is fleeing the Sea of the Crime, she falls into a river of acid and is mutated into this disgusting, lanky monster. And she basically is like a slug with arms, and she has to slink away from the Candy Kingdom with the amulet. And she happens to die on the hill that would eventually become the spot that the treehouse is in our modern times, in the Adventure Time universe. And basically, Finn, in this flashback, realizes that this amulet is here in the house, basically, in the treehouse, and he's having these nightmares because Shoko is trying to contact him in her ghostly form to get him to make things right with Princess Bubblegum because she feels bad. So Finn calls Princess Bubblegum over, gives her the amulet, comments on how she's been lying about her age, and that's the end of the episode. A very, very strange one, and there's even more stuff to unpack here. So the first thing I want to mention quickly is this episode basically confirms that it's canon that every time that Finn dies in a past life, he's reborn in the Land of Oo as a different hero. So essentially what that means is, even though we've kind of been under the impression that, you know, the Ice King was around during the, like, end of the world, and Marceline was, and now we know Princess Bubblegum was, apparently it's possible Finn could have been as well, as a different version of himself. It's basically impossible to know for sure if Shoko was alive during the apocalypse or not, but I will say that the Land of Oo in the flashback looked very similar to the modern Land of Oo, even though there were some key differences. So it was probably not Shoko. It was probably an even earlier past life of Finn's who actually lived through the apocalypse. And I'm sure at some point we'll learn who that was and kind of get some more information on them. And in this episode as well, we see the founding, essentially, of the Candy Kingdom, including Princess Bubblegum building the Gumball Guardians for the first time. And throughout this episode, she appears basically identical to the quote-unquote modern interpretation of her that we have in the modern timeline of the show. So, seemingly, this indicates that Princess Bubblegum has been the same age, or appeared the same age, for a very long time. And the part of the series where she was younger than before was very strange for her indeed, because she had not been that young, presumably either for a long time or maybe even never. So, important stuff to note there. In addition to that, we also got introduced to the Bath Boys, which were basically this whole gang that, like, basically just chill out inside of bathtubs and wear bath caps and bath gowns. And they lived in a big house on the top of a hill that was very reminiscent of the one that we saw the gang in the alternate universe episode at the beginning of this season living in. And in addition to that, it seemed like that universe from the episode Finn, season 5, episode 1, is sort of a combination of Finn and Shoko's lives. So basically, Shoko's whole, like, life was being retold with a Finn spin, if you will, in the alternate universe. And that's why, essentially, things were the way they were in that alternate reality is because Finn was essentially living Shoko's life, which is very interesting. And Shoko also had the white tiger, and that was presumably her companion character, yet it wasn't magical and it couldn't talk like how Jake can. So I'm not sure if that was supposed to be like her Jake or if that was something completely different just to kind of give us some sort of completion on how sort of every version of Finn has to have some companion character. It's hard to say for sure. Otherwise, let's see here. Was this a filler episode? No. Snail spotted? Nope. And there were no fart jokes. The main thing I wanted to mention about Shoko is she was a real badass. She was a really good thief, and she was good at tricking people and beating the shit out of people. And you could tell that she had hero adventurer potential, which is what made it so obvious that she was a descendant, or I guess an ancestor of Finn. She actually receives a mechanical arm in this episode that is very reminiscent of the one Finn got in that alternate reality episode as well. And it's actually built for her by Princess Bubblegum as a reward for helping her complete the Gumball Guardians. And in addition to her getting that arm, basically we also hear that the reason she doesn't have an arm is because her parents sold her arm to get a computer. So, interesting stuff there. It was never really explained in the alternate universe episode, but presumably in both universes, we can assume it was because their parents were poor. So, continuing on from there, Shoko, when she fell into the vat of acid, turned into this disgusting monster, which sort of checks out and reconnects to our lore about how the universe was ended by some disgusting, like, mushroom cloud, toxic waste bomb of some sort. And honestly, she was such a disgusting monster, and it was disturbing. And that was definitely the weirdest part of the episode. And also the fact that her corpse was just inside of the treehouse, and Finn was able to retrieve the amulet off of her. But since she was Finn's descendant, Finn actually saw her as herself, like, when she was younger and normal, which was really weird. Otherwise, what else do we have here? We don't have a whole lot more to mention. BMO had Finn play a regression simulator, like I mentioned. I'm just kind of keeping a log of all of the games that BMO has. Talked about the Bath Boys. I think that's really it, you know? Oh, this is the last thing I wanted to mention. So, Shoko actually mentions at one point in the episode that she's glad she got the amulet because she didn't want to disappoint the Bath Boys and make her reputation look bad. But it was a shame because she was about to die and she was about to hit the reset button. What the hell does that mean? Does Shoko know that she, like, is reincarnated and she reincarnates when she dies? She definitely either knew more information than us there or was just making some kind of offhanded joke that I looked way too far into. But either way, this was a very, very strange episode, and it had some serious implications for the lore of the show that I think we're not going to fully understand until we get some more context, so... that's sort of all I gotta say about this one for now. I'm sure I'm gonna be referring back to this one in the future because of how strange it was and how much it seemingly set up for the lore of the show. Alright, now let's talk about Season 5, Episode 35, Love Games. As we stated in the previous episode, Flame Princess is currently Finn's ex, and she is now the ruler of the Flame Kingdom. And because of that, she basically confirmed to Finn that they will not be getting back together. And Finn is still incredibly bummed out about it. So in this episode, Finn sort of explores what it means to be single yet again. And the first major part of that is ranting on Jake's podcast. It turns out Jake has a podcast quite like this one, where he talks to various guests about different things, and Finn basically explains that he's done dating princesses and he's ready to get back to saving them. And of course, almost perfectly on cue, Slime Princess shows up and needs Finn to pretend to date her in order for her to get her kingdom back, because she explains that her sister has actually almost completely taken the throne from her because of the fact that she got married before she did. So she needs Finn to pretend to be married to her so she does not lose her kingdom. And Finn steps up to the task, and unfortunately it's not as simple as going there and pretending to get married or even getting temporarily married like the Ice King and Jake did back in that previous episode. Oh no. They have to complete a series of love games to prove that they're actually in love and to basically compete against Slime Princess's sister in order to prove that they are the better couple. And basically, there's like three different challenges. The first one is like they have to sing to each other while they're on a boat. The second one is like a cuddling contest. And then the third one is like a smooching contest, basically. And Finn absolutely fucking destroys the first one by singing a song about his feelings for Flame Princess. But of course, all of the Slime Kingdom residents think it's actually about Slime Princess. So, you know, they're like, wow, that's so emotional, that's so beautiful. And then for the second one, the spooning competition, they lose by a landslide because Finn basically keeps scooting away from Slime Princess in order to avoid spooning her. And for the smooching contest, they don't even end up actually making it to that point because essentially Finn gets fed up with it and decides to go confront Slime Princess's sister, only to discover that Slime Princess's sister's husband is in fact not real and completely fake. She basically just took a pile of slime and put a fake hat and a fake face and all this stuff on it. I guess it could have been a real hat, but it was like a bunch of fake stuff to make it look like a real slime person, even though it was actually just a pile of slime. And so after this, basically, Slime Princess's sister is ousted to the kingdom, and Slime Princess gets to keep the throne of the Slime Kingdom. And near the end of the episode, they go to kiss, but they decide not to because neither of them can stomach it, and that's the end of this episode. So let's go over some of the finer details here. Yes, this was a filler episode. No, I did not spot the snail, and no, there were no fart jokes. The funniest parts for sure definitely were near the beginning. Jake had Finn on his podcast, like I mentioned, it was very funny. BMO was basically the producer for the podcast, and he got to play some random sound effects, and I thought that was a really nice gag. And also, Jake keeps getting interrupted while he's recording his podcast, and he's getting increasingly frustrated, which is something I related to quite a bit back in the day. Also, another funny part was when Finn was attempting to try and kiss Slime Princess, he threw up. And then after everything happened and they were like, eh, should we just kiss anyway? Slime Princess threw up at the thought of kissing Finn, which I thought was really funny. Other things to note about this episode, the Ice King is still living with Finn and Jake. And in fact, when Finn leaves for the Slime Kingdom with Jake, the Ice King actually has BMO help him record his own podcast, which I thought was a funny bit. Honestly, I would probably rather listen to the Ice King's podcast than Jake's. No offense to Jake, but that being said, I think the best podcast would be one with both of them co-hosting it. I think that would be excellent. But other than that, the last thing that was kind of funny that I wanted to mention was Jake decided to tag along with Finn to watch these love games. And basically, he only had one piece of popcorn that he was going to be able to eat. He was originally planning on popping a bag of popcorn in order to eat it while the love games were going on. So what he ended up doing was he shrunk himself down to take the entire episode to eat that one piece of popcorn, which I thought was really funny. But overall, that's this episode in a nutshell. Not a whole lot to this one. Pretty standard filler episode. We got to see a little bit more of Finn's struggle with dealing with the fact that he's no longer in a relationship, which is always great. Finn is honestly one of those people that you know in real life who just, no matter how hard they try, can't not be in a relationship. And it comes across as, like, really annoying in the show. So hopefully that ends soon. Well, unfortunately, I could not be further from the truth, because Season 5, Episode 36, Dungeon Train, includes Finn going on this crazy adventure and basically refusing to stop because he's trying to forget about Flame Princess no matter what. Here's the story. So basically, Finn and Jake are following a lead from Flamebow to find this mystery cave that they're going to explore when they come across a weird train. And to set the scene a little bit, this train is essentially in the middle of some woods on a big circular track, constantly going in a loop. And when we have an overview shot of it, we cannot see any sort of engine car or a caboose or anything like that. It's just a continuous loop around this circular track of regular train cars. Kind of imagine the ones that you think of that, like, slide open on the side and people always, like, hide in there on the movies. It's a lot like that looking from the outside. And in the middle is possibly the mystery cave. I didn't really decide yet if it was or not, but I'm under the impression that that's where it was, actually. And essentially, this train is the dungeon train, because it's essentially an infinitely generated dungeon filled with monsters and loot. And when you enter the train, you can basically stay on it forever if you want. And as long as you don't open the side doors and get out, you can just keep going around and around the train. And every time you do, there'll be new dungeon rooms for you to fight in, basically. And it's a really cool premise. And essentially, Finn and Jake enter the dungeon train and begin dungeon crawling through it, collecting tons of loot with ease. And after a long time of doing it, Jake starts to get really bored and asks Finn if they can be done for the day. But Finn basically keeps pushing them through it, because him being able to explore this dungeon train is helping him keep his mind off of his breakup with Flame Princess. And so he does not want to stop going through this dungeon. And basically, Jake follows him around for quite some more time before ultimately deciding to tell him, like, hey, we gotta leave, or I'm gonna leave. I'm not staying here. And Finn's like, yeah, go ahead, leave. So Jake leaves, but he goes on top of the train and kind of follows Finn around a little bit to make sure that he's okay. And he ends up falling asleep with one of the monsters, only to wake up after a while when the monster tries to kill him. And essentially what ends up happening is Jake goes back in and tries to convince Finn to leave the dungeon train. And they end up finding this, like, crystal orb that predicts the future. And when they look at it, they see Finn on the train, like, by himself as an old-ass man never having left. And Jake basically explains, like, we gotta go, man, seriously. And Finn says no, obviously. So then the crystal orb changes, and we see Jake as an old man as well, blindly following Finn around this dungeon train for infinity. And basically, when Finn sees this, he ultimately decides to tell Jake to go ahead and leave, and he promises him that he will only spend, like, 2 more weeks on the train, and then he will go. And that's really the end of this episode. Finn just basically gets addicted to dungeon crawling on this mystery train because he can't handle the thought of not being in a relationship. And Jake tries to get him to snap out of it, but it kind of fails. But Finn does concede and promise to leave after 2 more weeks of dungeon crawling. And Jake leaves, and that's it. So, very weird episode. Very kind of anticlimactic episode, because ultimately nothing really changed. Finn just promised to eventually leave. But what do we got here? Filler episode? Yes. Snail spotted? No. Fart jokes? No. The coolest part for sure was the fact that after every fight, Finn just kept getting more and more and more and more looted up. There was even boss fights, and every single one gave him some sort of cool piece of armor, a shield, a weapon, a magic item. It was really, really neat. It reminded me of when you play D&D and you actually remember to loot the room afterwards. Overall, really, really good shit. Especially in D&D, if your dungeon master is using randomly generated, like, loot items, and you essentially just end up getting some crazy, weird, like, lore-packed weapon or something. It was kind of like that. The funniest part about this episode was basically different things that happened in the dungeon, but I thought it was really funny when basically they're fighting slimes and Jake's telling him, like, hey, aren't you hungry? Like, we gotta leave soon so we can get food. And Finn kills a slime and there's two uncooked pork chops inside, or two uncooked turkey legs inside. So he heats them up with his magic that he got from another loot item and eats it, which was funny but also really, really disgusting. The last thing I want to say about this one is just, I wanted to mention how crazy it is to me that this show is tackling Finn being so reliant on a relationship that the fact that he's now out of it, he's so upset and he's so distraught that he's willing to disregard him and his best friend's health in order to basically keep his mind off of it. This dungeon train is a simple distraction that he is addicted to, and it's almost like a drug to him because it keeps him from focusing on the relationship he's just lost. And it's just kind of nuts how far we've come. And it really kind of makes Finn seem both more mature because he's dealing with something like this, but also less mature because he's not handling it in a super emotionally mature way than he did at the beginning of the episode. Like, he's still only like, what, 13, 14, but this relationship is affecting him so strongly, and it's just crazy. And it makes him seem both mature and immature at the same time, which, you know, is pretty interesting. He's acting like what I imagine, you know, a teen would act like when they get into a breakup with somebody that they really, really, really liked. So, interesting insights, even though this episode was really fucking weird. And I have to admit, I wasn't the biggest fan of it, because it was just strange and it really didn't further the plot in any way. Well, folks, there we have it. Another 5 episodes, another 5 reviews. I tell ya, I'm not really a huge fan of Finn's depression arc he's on right now after his breakup with Flame Princess. I would much prefer to him just kind of to give up on this and move on to the next thing, because it's really not entertaining. I don't know. Maybe I'm just kind of over the whole, like, teen relationship drama thing, but that's kind of all this really feels like at the end of the day. It feels like drama, and I'm not a huge fan. That being said, maybe I'm completely off base with this. If you folks like the relationship drama in Adventure Time, make sure to let me know by tweeting at me at HyruleanTV. Because, I don't know, maybe I'm just missing out on the sort of enjoyment of it because I haven't been in too many relationships, but it's just not my cup of tea, you know? But either way, that being said, I have to admit, the episodes have been increasing tenfold in quality. Every single episode seems like it has some kind of stakes and some kind of callback or continuation, and I'm here for it 100%. I honestly have had a lot of trouble picking out anything particularly negative about any of the recent episodes, and I gotta say, I think season 5's gotta be the best season so far. I don't know if that's a controversial take or not, but all of these episodes, while not as iconic as some of the earlier ones, feel substantially more important and substantially more fleshed out than stuff we've seen in the past. And I really appreciated that. I like that the show's starting to get a little more mature and have some more themes and ideas and stuff. And you can tell that it was sort of originally designed for one age demographic, and they sort of kept raising that age as the show progressed in order to keep that show relevant to the people who started watching it at the beginning. So interesting stuff overall. I can't wait to get more analytical here when we wrap with Season 5, and especially when we wrap with this series, so I hope you folks will stick around with that. But either way, I've been your host, Hyrulean, and I've been here for God knows how long talking about Adventure Time. If you made it to the end, thank you very much, and have a fantastic day. Bye-bye!